Welcome to TR Talks, where your host, Team Rajpal, talks everything Toronto and GTA real estate, from buying, selling, leasing, investing, and rental management. An unfiltered conversation with industry experts helping you stay up to date with the market.
Hello again. This is Xerxes from TR Talks here as your host alongside Nick, who's a salesperson on our team.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, Xerxes?
I'm doing really well. I'm actually really excited for today's topic.
I am too.
So today we're going to be talking about home inspections, and we have Kyle with us. Kyle's been working with our team for a long time. And really excited to have you on, Kyle.
Hi there. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So, Kyle, let's just jump right into this. So, it's Kyle Martinick from Pillar to Post. Kyle, I think we've been working together for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's been at least that now.
Absolutely. And we couldn't be happier to have you on part of our team. Now we have seen you work and quite a few of our clients have seen you work, but for the listeners, can you just give us a synopsis as to what you do, why you do it, as well as why are you joined up with the Pillar to Post brand?
So basically I'm a registered home inspector. What we do, we're the ones who go into a house. Most of the time it's when somebody is purchasing a house and we do a full inspection of all of the major systems of the home to provide the buyer, or whoever our client is on that inspection, with the full condition of the home.
Awesome. And how long have you been doing this?
I'm coming up on 10 years now.
Wow.
So that's where I think, because you guys were one of the first teams I started working with. That, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's, now that I'm looking back, I think it's more than 5 years.
Yeah.
And so, Kyle, give us an insight as to, I know since we've worked with you, you've been part of the Pillar to Post team. Why them?
Pillar to Post, one thing I really like about as a franchise, it's a company that realtors and clients can call and get the same person every time. But we also have a branch of other inspectors and colleagues that I can reach out if I can't, for instance, be there to help out a client. You know, if I've already got 2 inspections booked on a day, it's hard to get in a third. If I need any more, then I've got, you know, other colleagues in the area here that work with Pillar to Post. I know they're going to be members of a home inspection association. They've got the same process I do, the same training I do, and I can call on them to refer my existing clients and realtors that use me a lot. So it's kind of creates a team atmosphere, yep. And yet realtors can call me every time, and you know, 95% of the time, you're going to get me coming to do your home inspection for you.
Yeah, it's just like our team, like a real estate team. I can always count on Xerxes if I can't make a showing.
Exactly.
And he can help show and the vice versa.
Exactly.
Perfect. So, Kyle, let's delve into a little bit about why home inspections occur. Why are they important? So let's start off with the first question here. So what are key areas you look at as a home inspector when you walk into a home?
So there's many interconnected systems in a home. There's kind of the big five that you'll hear home inspectors talk about. Those ones just quickly would be roof and attic, structure, electrical, plumbing, and your heating, ventilation, and cooling, or HVAC. So, you know, when I'm at a home, the first thing I'm looking at is how I'm going to get up to the roof or get to the edge of the roof so I can inspect that from up close. We go up there and we're checking your roof drainage, the condition of the shingles or whatever type of roofing material you may have, any of the accesses. Hopefully there hasn't been any rodents that I can tell have been in there. And then on the underside of that, when I start inside the house, I start up in the attic where we can check the underside of the roof structure, see if there's been any leaks, mold, condensation. We can check out the insulation, see if there has been any critters living inside of there. Then the structure. So the structure is woven throughout the entire house. You know, you've got your roof structure, your flooring structure, your ceiling structures, your wall structures, the main beams in the house. A lot of the time, a lot of those structures are fully concealed in a house. So as home inspectors, you know, we're using our kind of secondhand knowledge, looking for things like big cracks at doorways, slanted floors. If the basement's unfinished, that's great, because then we can see the actual foundation, your main beams, load-bearing walls, posts, and stuff like that in the basement. If it's, again, if the basement's finished, most of those items are going to be concealed, and we're just looking for underlying issues that may tell us there's a structural issue going on, and to get somebody to look into this further. Yeah, the electrical, plumbing, you know, most of those systems are concealed in a home. You know, your distribution pipes and your branch wiring from your electrical, they're concealed in the walls. We can't directly see those. We do have some tools like my thermal camera that helps us see what might be on the other side of a wall just by hot and cold. But most of the time that stuff is concealed. We're checking all the termination points, all of your plumbing fixtures. I will run every plumbing fixture in the home that I have access to. I'll test every light switch, every electrical fixture, all the receptacles that I have access to. So we can still get an in-depth look at those. The electrical panel, we'll take the cover off the electrical panel, check what type of wiring it is, all of the electrical connections in there, and make sure everything's safely done.
Okay. And so what I'm hearing is basically anything that you can get access to without breaking anything or that's covered, you can basically inspect. Yes. So is there anything else that you are not able to assess?
Not able to. So yeah, biggest one is inaccessible areas. You know, we can't break open walls. Our inspections are called visual inspections. If there's an accessible panel, like the furnace panel, the electrical panel that I can remove and safely put back on, we do that. If it's something like, you know, I suspect there's an issue inside of a wall, I will write that in my report, but I can't open up drywall. I can't pull out insulation to get a better look. I can't rip up carpet or flooring to get a better look of what's under there. That's stuff where if I see some sort of an issue going on, I'll have to recommend that further investigation is done when it's appropriate. And that's, you know, in the winter, snow is a big one. You know, a roof is one of the biggest parts of the house to inspect. But we just got dumped with a foot of snow up here in York Region where I am in Keswick. I'm sure it's like that everywhere right now. So yesterday morning, I was on a roof. It was dry. There was no ice. There was no problems. I might not be on another roof for the rest of the winter until the snow has melted. It's a big part of the home, but there are some limitations. And in Canada, that's a big one in the winter is snow cover, you know, and I'll try and do my best. If there's a melted part of snow where I can see part of the shingles, I'll get my zoom camera or my camera pole up there. If it's safe to do so, I'll try and get my ladder still to the edge of the roof, maybe dust off a few shingles so I can at least see what type they are. If they're severely deteriorated, I can usually tell that, but obviously I can't give you a full picture of the roof when it's fully covered.
Understood. And so basically it's a visual inspection, and then you use tools, and more than your tools, your experience, your knowledge, your wherewithal to get a better idea of maybe what the problem is. It's very similar to a doctor in a sense of, like, you know, you're looking at symptoms and trying diagnosing what the issue is, if there is one, right? So, I know firsthand you do a great job at that. So, let's move on to something quite more interesting, which is, do you suggest doing a home inspection on new homes considering there is a tarry-on warranty? I mean, I know that there's quite a bit of our clients who've purchased brand new homes, so. For our listeners who are our clients out there, I know a lot of you are listening, and this might be quite interesting for you.
That's a huge yes from me. We do them quite often, and the big reason, you know, you have your tarry-on warranty, but I would say the average homeowner doesn't know what to be looking for to submit in their tarry-on warranty. It's not like, you know, if you've got a hidden defect in your attic, most homeowners never go in their attic. Tarion's not just going to show up and say, oh, you don't have enough insulation in here, or there's a big patch of shingles missing. Here's some money for that. You know, that doesn't happen. You need somebody to diagnose these issues. So, you know, having someone who has a process to go around all of your systems in the home, and to be honest, the Tarion inspections I do on new builds take longer than a regular buyer or seller's inspection, because it includes all of these, you know, cosmetic issues are covered on some of your Tarion warranties. And you know, a lot of the time we do the 30-day warranty, which still covers everything that was done on the PDI form. And that includes a bunch of cosmetic issues.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've never done an inspection on a new build where the cost of my inspection wasn't covered at least twofold by what was required for the builder to repair.
And I think that says it all, right? Like, and someone who's owned a new build myself, I can almost say with guarantee it's definitely worthwhile. I don't only recommend it at the 30-day mark. I also recommend it at the one-year mark because, you know, once your house has gone through a winter and all four seasons and the settlement has happened, there's new issues that are going to come up.
Yeah, and Kyle, I was also wondering, ask though, for those new to home inspections, typically how long does it take for, let's say, a home inspector like yourself to go through a house?
A typical 2,000 square foot house, about 2 to 3 hours.
Okay. And then you said it'll take a bit longer for newer homes, right?
Well, newer homes, you know, some of them I'm still done in 2 hours. It still is around 2 or 3 hours. I just have a lot of people think, oh, it's a brand new home. You know, this is only going to take you an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I'm like, I'm going through this with a fine tooth comb because there's a lot of things, you know, if there was a big splotch of paint on a wall in a 40-year-old house, I don't care about that. But in a new build, that would be covered under a Tarion warranty if the builder did that. So that's where it's the inspection is a little bit different on a new build. There's a lot of things that people don't realize that are even covered on a new build inspection. But yeah, what Xerxes was saying as well, that 1 year warranty, it makes so much sense to do it then as well, because yeah, the home's been lived in, used, it's dried out, it's settled. It makes a big difference after a year. A lot of the times there's going to be some issues that will come to light that often aren't apparent in the first 30 days.
Right. So let me ask you something. What would be some things that homeowners can do, like a better job of maintaining, so they can avoid like some issues that happen in the long run up for our home?
Getting your major systems serviced regularly. You know, I go in most homes and the furnace and the air conditioner have never been serviced. You know, whether it's a 5, 10, or a 20-year-old furnace, I'd say maybe only 10 to 20% of the time do I see a service sticker on there. The homes where I see a servicing been done every year or two, those furnaces last like a decade longer. Like it's amazing how much more life you can get out of your systems when they're properly serviced.
How about duct cleaning? Because I've been getting a lot of those calls lately. How often should that be done?
Haven't we all? Duct cleaning really depends on each house. You know, if you've got pets or for some reason your house is dustier than most, you should probably be getting it done every year or two. If you've got a pretty low traffic house, I mean, 2, 3, 5 years could be okay, but that's kind of hard for me to diagnose. It's you got to open up your heat registers and look in an air duct and see if there's dust and grime and debris in there. But more so, the regular maintenance that a homeowner needs to do is changing your furnace filter every 3 to 6 months. And again, that really depends on how dirty it gets in each house.
Yeah. So if let's say there was a lot of dust in the ducts, like it'll just basically decrease the efficiency of like the furnace. Is that the main?
It blocks the airflow of the furnace. It can make the air you breathe. You know, if you've got allergies, it's going to be cause that to act up more, especially with dust and pet fur. But for the most part, it's not really going to affect the systems in the house if you've got slightly dirty air ducts. But if the furnace isn't combusting properly, if you've got a really dirty furnace filter, that could damage the airflow. That can make it, you know, the air might not even reach the further heat registers in the home. That's a lot bigger deal for a homeowner to do regularly than just cleaning the air ducts.
Okay.
But right. There's a couple more things that homeowners can do. One thing, again, that I kind of joke with clients that people never do is go up into their attic space. You know, I go up into mine probably twice a year. That might be more than needed. But once a year in the spring, I would say, check for new leaks, check for condensation, mold, any signs of critters. These are all things that you don't really need special training. You know, take a flashlight, look all over the wood. Is there any mold or moisture stains? Look in the insulation. Are there pathways or nesting in there? Those are some simple things that pretty much anybody can do with a flashlight and can save you a lot of money if you got a roof leak and you catch it early as opposed to finding out 2 or 3 years down the road when there's water coming through your ceiling.
No, absolutely. These are amazing tips. Thank you so much, Kyle. I mean, you know, this home inspections are not only for people who are buying a home. And I think that's the key here for people to understand. It's, you know, it's also for sellers who are prepping. I mean, I know we do a lot of pre-list home inspections. Sellers, before you're selling, make sure that, you know, in order for you, it can save you a lot of money with regards to when you're getting offers. Buyers are way more confident when they know that the home is working well and the systems in the home are up to date. And they know how much money they're going to have to invest once they walk in through that door, right? So it's definitely very helpful. Now, moving on to the next question here is, are there any different types of home inspections?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, a pre-list inspection, that's one that, yeah, over the last couple of years, we've been doing a lot more with these market swings. So the pre-list is the inspection done for the seller before, usually before they've started taking offers or listed the house for sale. I highly recommend this. This is a strategy that I find more experienced real estate agents recommend to their clients than new agents. I've just talking through agents in the past, new agents are worried about exposing defects in the house, which, you know, if a buyer is going to have an inspector come through, they're going to find those issues anyways.
Yeah.
So some of the bonuses of that, of doing the pre-list, you know, it makes you, whoever's selling the house and that agent, you're now the experts on the home. You really don't want the deal killers, which those experienced agents try and avoid, is when they don't know the issues in the home. They have a buyer who brings an inspector in and they find all these issues they didn't know about. And now they've got to, you know, negotiate or make repairs.
They would have to strategize the house in a different way.
Things they weren't expecting. It also gives the seller the opportunity, you know, if there's something big that might turn away a lot of sellers, they can fix it before they put it on the market. And now it's not an issue that's going to come out because it's already been resolved. The typical inspection that most people are used to is the buyer inspection. When they have a condition on the home, they come in, and that's the most common one where we're just going to tell the buyer the condition of the home before they make that purchase. Another one we already touched on was the new build inspection. A lot of people aren't familiar with that or haven't done those, but we touched on that already. One that was kind of a very rare before the last couple of years in this crazy market, but has come a lot more common when it's a huge seller's market and everyone had to forego home inspections, are post-purchase inspections. And that was kind of the one that I was maybe doing one, a few a year in the past. And I was doing, that was most of my business in 2022 for a while there. People who have got the keys, now they're hiring us to come in and say, okay, what did I buy? And is there any issues I need to take care of right away to prevent further damage from the house?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had clients that also I recommended you as well after the post purchase to do those inspections. So I 100% recommend that as well. So this next question, as I was mentioning, I think it's very important as well as interesting for realtors or buyers, whoever. Are all home inspectors qualified in the same way here in Ontario?
No. Not at all, really. Kind of the unfortunate part about the Ontario home inspection industry is we are not a licensed profession. I believe it was in 2018, a bill passed to license home inspectors in Ontario, but there is still no governing body, and it's not operational yet. So at this time, the best thing that homeowners can do when they're looking for a home inspector is to get a home inspector with a professional designation. So I myself, I'm a registered home inspector, and the designation just goes with which association you're a part of. So I'm a member of the Canadian Association of Home and Property Inspectors. Another big one in Ontario is OHI, which is the Ontario Association of Home Inspectors. That designation there, if you've got the highest designation in those associations, is an RHI or a registered home inspector. You know, there's a few other designations. One's a master home inspector. But basically, you want to make sure they have a designation and they are a member of an Ontario Home Inspection Association, because that tells you a few other things about that inspector as well. If they've got that highest designation, that means they've got at least a certain amount of experience. When you first open up as a home inspector, you can't get a registered home inspector designation. I believe with CAPI that I'm with is at least 250 home inspections done. They also make sure that you carry errors, omissions insurance and general liability insurance, which is a big one that a lot of people may not even think about when they're looking for a home inspector. And with that, you want to make sure that your home inspector makes you sign an inspection agreement. I have a lot of people that think we have our clients sign inspection agreements just to cover my end so that, you know, I can't get sued or can only get sued for so much. But it does just as much to protect my clients as it does to protect me. And it goes over our standards of practice, scope of a home inspection, limitations, liabilities. It really clears a lot of things up, and it does protect both sides of the party. I actually get a lot of calls from people who have had a really bad home inspection experience and ask me to come and re-inspect the home because they need an actual professional. The first thing I ask, okay, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. I said, what does it say in the agreement you signed with the home inspector? And almost always with these types of inspectors, it's, oh, they didn't make me sign anything. And then the guy disappears and they can't get a hold of him after.
Wow.
That's a big red flag if your home inspector doesn't have you sign a visual inspection agreement before you start the inspection.
Well, people, you heard it here. I mean, these are tips on making sure that your purchase or what you have purchased is exactly what you expected, or the best way to find out what it is you purchased, as Kyle mentioned earlier. This is really important stuff here. So thank you, Kyle. I'm going to end it on one very interesting questions is, and that's more of an experiential question of, you know, when a buyer walks into a home with you, what can they expect when they walk out? What can they expect as far as, you know, your diagnosis is concerned?
So they're going to have the best knowledge they can get about the current condition of the home. I consider myself one of the most thorough inspectors out there, and I love to teach my clients as well. So I fully welcome my clients to join me for the entire inspection. I have lots of clients who follow me around the house, and when they're with me, I just talk out loud. I'm making my notes in my report, but I'm also talking out loud, pointing things out. I find they learn a lot more as well about maintenance and just tips for homeowning when they come along with the home inspection. You know, I'll be showing all of the shutoff valves, filters that need to be changed, little tips here and there that may not necessarily show up in the report, but is good education. Just to know about owning a home. When we're done the inspection, I always pull up all my photos on site. We do a full review of everything that I've covered, just in case there's anything that client wants to go back and visit in person. And they've got a full knowledge of all of the condition of the home before they leave there. And then they'll still get a full report with all the photos and comments as well. But I find it's really nice to have the client there and have those conversations right on site at the house.
Perfect. Well, I mean, you know, you just mentioned a key term there. You said teach and, you know, educate your clients. And I think one of the reasons, I mean, I've looked it up here. We've been working together 8 years. And one of the reasons we work so well together, and I think we've worked with each other for so long, is because our company cultures are exactly the same. We're here to educate our clients so that they know that the purchase they're making with their hard-earned money and equity is something that they are aware. They don't just say, oh, it's a pretty house, or oh, it's a good deal. It's they know holistically, to the best of our knowledge as professional in, industry professionals, what it is that they're buying. So that
I couldn't agree more. That's one of the reasons I love working with you guys, is because you guys, I have some agents who may not be as experienced or don't care for their clients as much, who, you know, they don't want me to disclose the issues in the home. Whereas you guys, you know, we find any issues, there's nothing to panic about. You then go to bat for your client and you can negotiate a deal. You guys do that all the time. And I know that talking to you guys, Gita, Rajiv, you'll call me back and ask for questions. And, you know, is this a big enough issue that we need to go back to the clients? And yeah, that's where you guys are very good at taking my information and then using that for more power and leverage in your deal.
No, thank you, Kyle. And vice versa. Like we love working with you as well, because you tell us every single detail about the house, nothing missing, nothing leave behind. And what I like is you can provide that full report. And you also, I remember you doing the zip ties on the valves to indicate what this valve does and that. And that's really helpful for first time home buyers and people that haven't owned a house before. So yeah. So we're going to end it off here, Kyle, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And for those who are listening, can you briefly tell us your contact information so they can reach out to you when they can?
So again, my name's Kyle Martinick. We are with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors. That's my wife, Rena, and I run our company up in, we service all of York Region and the surrounding areas. My phone number, our business line is 647-444-1116. And this might be tough to write down, but our email address to contact us at is themartinickteam@pillartopost.com. It's just Martinick Team, MARTINIUK at PILLARTOPOST.com.
Thank you, Kyle. And for those who are listening, please follow and share this podcast with your family and friends. Comment, ask questions, and make requests on topics you'd like us to follow. And thank you, and we'll see you next time.
TR Talks is hosted by members of Team Rajpal with RE/MAX. Rajiv Rajpal and Xerxes Barucha are brokers. Gita Rajpal and Nicholas Ip are sales representatives. All registered with the Toronto Regional Real Estate Board, Real Estate Council of Ontario, and Canadian Real Estate Association. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not for financial or investment advice. Please do your own due diligence.